Will Polonchuk here with you, in for AJ and Fred. Also here with Craig Shelton to my left, Stanford Brown, former NFL football player to my right. John Lee producing in our studios here in downtown Houston. I'm telling you, we've had a crazy day. We're talking about the Astros, we're talking Texans, we're talking about quarterbacks throughout the National Football League. We're having ourselves a fun day, and you can join us as well at 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Remember, we're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and the Unfiltered Show will broadcast live beginning at 10 from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5. And if you're hating Monday, then you can have something to look forward to at Nick's Place on Friday with us beginning at 10 here on ESPN 97.5.
Fish tacos.
We got
Nick's Place has a great fish taco.
Absolutely. We got Brian, who's been on the line for a long time with us, and we appreciate Brian holding through. So we had a little bit of football talk there in between, but we're talking Astros, obviously, here on this day where the Astros fall 9-6 to Kansas City. How you feeling, Brian? What's going on?
What's up, Brian?
Oh, I would be doing better had the last two innings not happened, but oh well. But yeah, I just called in because I think his name was Tom. I think it was a while ago. I don't remember.
Right.
He was complaining about how all the fans got up and left after that two-run homer in the ninth. And I thought about it. I was at the game. I stayed till the end. And yeah, some people left, maybe as many as a couple thousand, but at least 90% of the people that I saw stayed until the final out. And I was surprised, but very pleasantly surprised. I was impressed with the as into it as the fans were, and how they supported the team all the way to the end.
There was a comment made on the national broadcast that we carried here on ESPN 97.5 that Dave O'Brien did make about how there were some fans that had left.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was noticeable, at least from what we saw on the pictures on TV.
Yeah, and I don't even know the reason for the comment. When broadcasters do that, I always wonder.
Well, they're trying to paint the word picture a little bit.
Yeah, they are. They always are.
Trying to paint the word picture. Stanford.
I don't think they should paint that picture.
I remember Stanford when he was in Kansas City, and one of the best radio broadcasters who painted the word picture in Kansas City, and you know him, Stanford, is Mitch Holthus, and he loved calling your name out too.
Mm-hmm.
He's always one of the best guys when you talk about where the football is on the field and what's going on in the stands and what the atmosphere is. Painting the word picture,
yeah.
And that's what I think he was doing there. I don't mind that comment, but again, at the same time, as somebody who is a Houston fan, that makes me upset a little bit because then you think, okay, you know, are our fans not all the way into it?
Yeah, but fans don't need to defend themselves and say, you know, if guys want to call in and complain about a few thousand people that left the game, you don't have to defend yourselves, you guys that stayed there, because you spent your money.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. When you spend your money, man, you got a right to do it however you want to do it, except
whatever you want,
except
to
yelling and personal stuff at the players.
That's the worst right there.
The main beef that you and I had today was about the Correa error in the eighth.
Uh-huh.
Finley is on the line at 713-780-ESPN to talk about the Carlos Correa error in the eighth. Finley, you're
Let's
on ESPN
it.
97.5.
All right, fantastic. I've got to say go Cougs because I'm a U of H grad.
Dude,
go Cougs. Came off the mound and that glove was wicked. It caught Correa looking for something that just visually wasn't going to be there. He had probably 6 more inches to reach out to grab it, and there was no way he was going to see that, not the way he was moving. So there's no way Correa gets an error for that. He played a super game. The Astros played a super game. We got a really good team. I love these guys. I'm just really sorry that the Major League strike zone shrunk about 3 inches on every corner in the seventh inning.
Well, it didn't shrink on those 5 back-to-back singles.
The whole inning when they're hitting singles, you're in that trap remembering the Atlanta Braves, going, how low do we have to go? What did we do wrong now?
Yeah, okay, but listen, Correa, it was an error. It was ruled an error by the umpires. They ruled Correa's error
by the official score, not the umpire.
Well, the official score, it was ruled an error. So we have to call it what it is. But man, nobody's killing Correa. Where would we be without Carlos Correa? Yeah. We love Carlos Correa. He's great. He's awesome.
Yeah. Young talent.
He made an untimely error today that hurt the team. And it was a wicked, wicked ball. And I don't know if I would have ruled in the error had I been the official scorekeeper. I probably would have looked at it a little bit differently. But that's the way they ruled it. And when you're an elite player, sometimes you got to make – plays that other guys can't make.
It's a tough error for me.
Yeah, that was my only point. And I agree with you. You know, I'm not disagreeing with that. It was a tough one, but, you know.
The update on what's going on in Texas right now. Toronto leads Texas. Texas has gotten two in their half of the eighth inning. It's 8-4 heading to the ninth in Arlington. The Blue Jays, if they win that game and hold on, they have to go up to or Rangers have to go up to Toronto and try and win one there in game number five, a decisive game. And I know you and I were talking about during the break, you know, we give Houston more than a puncher's chance to be able to go up
Absolutely.
To Kansas City and win.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'd say the same thing about the Texas Rangers right now going up to Toronto and having to basically
That's
win.
Gonna be tough.
Win.
No.
That's gonna be tough.
You have to win against all of Canada.
No.
I don't know if they're going to win that game, especially if they go with David Price in game five, which is what they most likely will do.
If they go with Price, they're not going to win that game.
Right.
No, it's just not going to happen. No, unlike the Astros, they blew their chance today. Yeah, unlike the Astros, they almost had to take care of business today. I don't believe that the Astros had to take care of business. It would have been great for the fans to see at home, but the Astros, I believe.
They got a shot. You know, they still have a very much a shot.
And they're not overwhelmed. You know what I mean?
Well, I think people are more consumed with the way that the Astros lost this game. If you would have just lost, and I agree. If you would have just lost this game 9-6, not knowing the circumstances, you would have said, okay, fine. The series is tied 2-2. One game for all the marbles. It's fine. You got McHugh who won in game one, and you got Johnny Cueto who looked shaky in game two. You like the Astros. But it's the way that they lost that probably has a lot of Astros fans right now seeing the a little bit more of a negative side.
If you're A.J. Hinch, and if you're an Astros fan, forget about A.J. Hinch. If you're an Astro fan, you can't really feel confident about that Astros bullpen on the road in that situation. Let's just be honest. That's going to be an area that's going to be of concern. But, man, if the bats just do their thing and really get going and can put it away with the bats – You got a chance.
And Dulotti. David Dulotti, who was with us.
Who? David Dulotti?
David Dulotti, who was with us earlier, mentioned something. And why we haven't seen Mike Fiers. That's one thing that. I mean,
that
if you're going to carry somebody on the roster.
That was a great point.
You got to use them.
Yeah, that was a great point.
You can't have people just sitting out there in the bullpen, not just taking up space.
No reason not to have Fiers firing the ball at this point.
713-780-ESPN. We'll take one more here on the Astros as we continue here on the Blitz. Will Pelagic and Craig Shelton, Stanford Brown, also in studio with us. Don, you are on with us on the Blitz here on ESPN 97.5. Hello, Don.
What's up, Don?
Donnie.
Yeah, hey, guys. What's up? Hey, yeah, speaking of that, I mean, you could have, Chad Qualls could have done that today. So, what, you know, so they didn't take him.
They didn't take him on the roster, yeah.
But anyway, speaking of fans. And I'm a Houston fan, and so I can speak for us. But I remember years ago when somebody was interviewing Jeff Bagwell about the difference in the fans in Houston and the fans in Boston. And he said, well, in Boston, when you're losing, they come out and boo you. In Boston, when you're winning, they come out and cheer you. In Houston, when you're winning, they come out and cheer you. In Boston, when you're losing, they come out and boo you. In Houston, when you're losing, they don't come out. And that's just the way it is. You know, because in Houston, we don't have fifth generation season ticket holders, you know, to the Astros. And it's just a different sports culture.
And it all turns up when it comes into playoff time and you get different people in the building that weren't there. The guys you see there on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, they're there. And they're the ones who probably stayed. And you get the casual fan in there. And that's something you deal with success. It's not a bad thing. It's just something you deal with when your team has success.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to hate on it? If you're an Astros fan right now, you want as many people on your side right now as you can get. Bring them.
Because hating just feels good. It's what people do.
Yeah.
It makes them feel good about
It
makes them feel good about themselves.
Craig, you ain't never lied.
That's what we've become, America.
In society.
But it also makes you look rather small when you do it.
Absolutely. That's never stopped us before. It won't stop us now. Yeah.
Craig Shelton, Stanford Brown, Will Pelagic here with you for the Blitz here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, it can't stop me from rapping, can it? Can it hop? Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am not Fred Fowler, and I'm certainly not A.J. Hoffman because I refuse to let anyone punch me in the face. I would never do MMA. I'm sorry. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Why you got a dog, AJ, like that?
AJ my dude, but I ain't getting no MMA ring with nobody. Period.
I tell you what, for a guy who does get punched in the face a lot, he does clean himself up very nice.
He a better man than me. You punch me in my face, I'm going to the trunk. You know what that means?
I got you.
I know you from New York.
I know what that means.
I know
what comes in the trunk.
I could never be a boxer. You got to know who you are. You know what I mean? I've been a pretty tough kid growing up. I can never be a boxer,
right?
Or MMA fighter. Those people. I went to see an MMA fight.
Man, those guys are.
There's
crazy.
Not a single person in an MMA arena that won't whoop your ass.
Yeah.
The peanut people, the people that sell popcorn. I went to get a Frito pie. That little lady was the scariest lady I've ever seen in my life. Man. AJ is a better man than Craig Sheldon. AJ, you the bomb, dog. I can't do it.
One thing we didn't get is how those guys shot today at the Tupelo's tournament.
I didn't roll the country around this country with gangster rappers, and I would not go nowhere near MMA fighters. I'm going to tell you like that. What that tell you?
It tells you that you're a smarter man than most.
Exactly.
Craig Shelton, the Stanford Route, joining me. I'm Will Pelagic. We're in for the guys here on The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, where you can join us for lunch on Friday. We'll be at Wingstop 290 in Fairbanks from 12:30 to 1:30 on ESPN 97.5. Pick up some wings. Try your luck to win tickets to see the next U of H, Rice, or Texas game. Station gear or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop, the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're talking Texans, we're talking Astros, the meltdown, and all the rest of it here on 97.5. Game number 5 on Wednesday. Bumps you, unfortunately, off the air, Mr. Craig, but unfortunate for that. But we'll hope to see.
That's all right.
We'll hope to see the Astros. We'll hope to see the Astros get themselves back together. It'll be Colin McHugh against Johnny Cueto coming up on Wednesday night. Leonard is on the line. Leonard, you're on ESPN 97.5.
Since we were talking about the Astros the last couple minutes, I just want to mention that the Astros have had a great season, and anything here on out will be a plus. If we win Game 5, great. If not, we still had a great season.
I'm glad you're measured enough to feel that way, Leonard.
and what I really want to talk about was the Texans, because the caller earlier had mentioned that they're kind of putting it on the defense for giving up as many points. But if you're a true football fan like I am, and you look at what's really going on, it's our offense that has been setting the defense up in bad situations by turning the ball over and by not being able to move the ball consistently. And that all falls.
Man, wait a minute, Wait a minute. When running backs,
Let me finish because we do have some holes in the secondary. I'll give it that on the defense. But the main problem with this team is that we do not have a franchise quarterback. I don't know what Brian Deal is. They think that every backup quarterback from New England is going to be the next superstar or something, but we've got two backup quarterbacks playing, and they can't decide which backup wants to be the backup to the backup. And what they need to do is go out there in the first round and get a franchise quarterback like these other teams have been doing while we've been sitting back with journeymen and backup quarterbacks for as long as I can remember.
Hey, guys, here's what you don't want to do. And appreciate the call. And I know the call is passionate. And when you sit on hold and it builds up, but people don't do this. Don't call a sports talk show in Houston and tell us that we don't have a quarterback. That we got two backups.
That's lazy.
And that we need to draft. Don't tell us that. Don't call a radio show and say the Texans don't have a quarterback. Don't do that. Don't call. You might as well call and say you should have drafted Vince Young. If you're going to call and say, you don't have a quarterback. That's not a good phone call, man. And we don't want to be rude to anybody, but calling up here saying the Texans don't have a good quarterback, you're playing two you can't make a decision over Haryem. We know that.
We want to be better than that.
That's been regurgitated over and over again. Tell us something different. Tell us what you think we should do, even if it's something ridiculous and moronic. I'd rather you say that than call up here and tell us that the Texans don't have a quarterback.
And Stanford knows this better than anybody. I mean, you know what you are when you have it, and there's nothing you can do. There's no quick fix coming.
No,
you have to
not.
Make lemons out of lemonade.
No, it definitely
or
is
lemonade
not.
Out of lemons, rather.
Pardon like I said, you know, I get it. Fans, they're passionate. They spend their hard-earned money, whether it's on DirecTV or whether it's going to the game at NRG Stadium. So they don't want to see a subpar product out there on the field, on the football field. But it is what it is. I see exactly where he's coming from, my man Leonard, and. Yes, the Texans do need to get a franchise quarterback, but it's not that simple. Because if it was that simple, every team
just go to the quarterback tree and
you want to go trade for Matt Castle like the exactly. Cowboys did?
But the frustration for Texan fans, they know that. It's because the amount of young guys that teams have vested in the last couple of years that the Texans had opportunities to get in on that and didn't.
But
that's the frustration for fans,
no,
I believe.
I agree with that also, but I also think that with fans, it's not many franchise quarterbacks in the NFL, period.
Yeah, but you should
it
at
might
least
be 10.
Have. But you should
and
have.
Honestly, it's more like 5 or 6.
There are 10 that can survive with the way that their environments are.
No, but the point that the Texans don't have a young – but no, that's not the point. The point is that they don't have one of these young kids that may not be the next Aaron Rodgers but could maybe be the next Joe Flacco. That's the problem.
Yeah.
See, there's no excuse
but what is
for listen, there's no excuse for one of these names I'm about to say not to be on this team.
Okay.
Garoppolo, Carr, Medenberger – Bridgewater. There's no reason for one of those kids not to be on this roster.
Now, let me ask you this.
No reason at all.
Now, let me ask you this.
No reason. And not even saying that even one of them is going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But
and you place that at the feet
of
Rick Smith, sir.
But listen, Aaron Rodgers has how many Super Bowls?
One.
How many does Joe Flacco have?
One.
Okay, there's a pretty big difference in who those guys are, right?
Absolutely.
So there's no excuse for the Texans not to have at least a good project kid. I actually think the Savage pick was a good pick for where they got him in the fourth round.
Yes.
He looks like a kid that's going to develop at minimum to be a serviceable backup.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you had what if you had drafted two? What if this roster, if you had actually took Clowney, then did what you needed to do to take Bridgewater, and you had Savage in the fourth round? You look like a much smarter guy who's supposed to be so smart than the guy that's flip-flopping, playing high school Madden, trade meal quarterback right now. So the fans' frustration comes from that. Not that they think that you can just go out and grab a franchise quarterback. No, it's the fact that you have nobody to even invest a couple of years in, and then you go get Mallett, and you make a fool out of yourself at how you handle that situation. I think that's where the frustration is.
Certainly a lot. Certainly a lot of frustration.
Well, I asked both of y'all this. You name Carr, you name Garoppolo, and then you name my man Bridgewater, right?
I name Medenberger.
Okay, and Medenberger. Now, let me ask you this. Minus a good defense, what's the difference between Mallett, Garoppolo, Bridgewater, Carr, and Medenberger? What's really the difference? Minus a good defense and a few ill-timed throws that Mallett's made thus far.
I'm making no argument with you, Stanford. I get your point. I mean, there's no argument there. But here's the – I'll go back to the point.
Uh-huh.
The point is, if Mallett is your guy, treat it like he's your guy.
When they went and signed Mallett, they wouldn't be viewed the way that they're viewed. And here's
they're
the
viewed
problem.
The way they're viewed because they won't make a decision.
Here's the problem. You need to make a clear-cut starter and a clear-cut backup. And here's the thing. In the process of the game, you can make a change. That's not the problem. The problem is when you're making the change from game to game. Like, if you're in the process of a game and a guy just doesn't have it and throws three picks or whatever, that's fine. I have no problem with you going to another guy for that reason. But if you're going in and saying, okay, whether Hoyer's a starter or Mount's a starter, we're going to have no problem changing both guys, that's when you have a situation where you have right now with the Texans where it's like, we don't know who to go behind. We don't know who's leading the bus.
Yeah, and there's a bigger crime with the Texans. Just go back and look at the history of the franchise and look at their drafting over the last 13 years and look at the number of draft picks that they've dedicated to the quarterback position. It is atrocious. They don't even address it. They don't even try. Well, they don't even try. Go look at how many quarterbacks they've drafted and where they've drafted what they have drafted.
You got David Carr, and I really can't think of much of anybody else.
That's it.
And that was number one pick. That was the inaugural season.
The next most significant draft pick you've used at that position is what? Tom Savage, number four.
Yeah, you're right.
Fourth round. Yeah. Not number four, fourth round.
Yeah, I get it.
Certainly a lot to think about when it comes to the Houston Texans. We'll talk more about them. We'll talk more about the Astros. We'll get your final thoughts getting closer towards game number five. It will be a game five in the other ALDS series, too. Toronto beat Texas 8-4. Texas has to go up to Toronto and win as well, just like Houston has to do in Kansas City to secure that Lone Star Series. The NLDS game between the Cardinals and Cubs has started 2-2, bottom four there. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. ESPN 97.5 The Blitz. Will Pelagic, Craig Shelton, Stanford Route will continue on ESPN 97.5 after this.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for over 38 years.
Here's David Dilotti.
We are at Minute Maid, where the Astros today blew a four-run lead to the Royals in the eighth inning and lost game four of the division series 9-6. The Astros had a 6-2 lead in the eighth, but reliever Will Harris, usually very reliable, imploded. Harris and Tony Sipp combined to allow the Royals five runs in that eighth inning. And the Royals scored two more in the ninth off Josh Fields. Again, 9-6, the final here at Minute Maid. Had a conversation with Harris immediately after the game.
I left a few balls in the middle of the plate for sure. They were finding the barrel and made a good pitch to Escobar. I thought, you know, he kind of reached out and was able to find a hole up the middle. It's baseball, you know, just trying to get outs, trying to throw strikes, and didn't work out today for me.
Loss is a loss. Was it more difficult when you lose it this way, six outs away?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't feel too good about it. Had my fair share of losses this year, and this is definitely the worst one so far. But I got a lot of teammates in here that are going to pick me up and play hard on Wednesday.
Is there patience at the plate? Is that difficult for you guys to deal with the way they make you throw pitches?
Probably for me it's the opposite. They don't really show too much patience against me. They're swinging, and I just need to make better quality pitches early in counts to get some early contact outs.
So game five comes Wednesday night in Kansas City. Colin McHugh will pitch for the Astros, Johnny Cueto for the Royals. Obviously the winner advances to the ALCS. Editorial note here. Still wondering why the Astros have let two leads slip in this series, and Mike Fiers has yet to pitch an inning. Fiers, one of the better arms down the stretch, has been unused in this series. A couple of football notes. Chiefs running back Jamal Charles, torn ACL in the right knee. USC has fired coach Steve Sarkisian. For diamond engagement rings and fine Swiss watches, visit Zadok.com. From Minute Maid, I'm David Dilotti. More of The Blitz is coming up on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, nice hit. Speaking of nice hits, how'd you know they were going to win the game by two touchdowns?
The same way I knew that Detroit would cover against Seattle last week. Sam Katz. I heard about him on national radio. The man is ridiculous. Five-time champion, 20 years in the business. He's 17-5 since I've started and 6-0 on his top plays.
I got to talk to this guy.
That's the best part. You can get his Monday night game of the year tonight absolutely free on a recorded message without having to speak to anyone. Just call 1-800-679-4455.
So I can call right now and get his Monday night game of the year absolutely free.
Yep, absolutely free. I just called right now and got the winner of Pittsburgh San Diego on the recorded message.
So what's the catch?
No catch. There's no salesman, no hassles, just winners on a recorded message.
So I just call 800-679-4455 and I get his Monday night game of the year free.
Listen, he's never lost his Monday night game of the year and it's on the recorded message right now. 800-679-4455. That's 800-679-4455.
The city of Houston is buried at $12.9 billion in debt because politicians are using the city's controller's office to further their political careers. Bill Frazier is the only CPA who's running for controller. He'll stop the politicians and get Houston out of debt.
This is Bill Frazier. The only way to balance our budgets and fix our streets is with a solid financial plan and stop spending money we don't have.
Bill Frazier for controller, a CPA we can trust. Vote Bill Frazier for controller.
Political ad paid for by Bill Frazier for controller. David G. Acosta, CPA Treasurer.
From the Rigzoni SPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I-45, the North Freeway, northbound at the Hardy Toll Road. It looks like they've moved that accident off to the right shoulder. There's also an accident out on the Hardy Toll Road, northbound near Northgate Crossing. This report is brought to you by Subway. Subway Catering has got you covered this holiday season. Choose from customizable sandwich platters to giant subs made the way you say with everything you love. And don't forget freshly baked cookie platters. Subway Catering, it's a simple and satisfying way to feed a crowd. Subway, cater fresh. From the Rigzoni SPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
32 after 6 on ESPN 97.5. Willful Logic along with Craig Shelton. Stanford Brown's been nice to join us here for the last hour. We've had some great fun talking not only about the Houston Texans, but also about the Houston Astros' 9-6 loss to Kansas City. We'll take some more of your phone calls, 713-780-ESPN.
And black MMA fighters.
Absolutely.
Ooh, we're talking about that.
We're talking about that as
how
well.
How they never win.
Teron Woodley, he was still boxing, though, right?
Who the hell is that?
Teron Woodley, I think he's a boxer. He's an MMA turn boxer, I guess. So
I know nothing about MMA. I'm just joking around.
I got you.
Nothing.
Adrian is on with us right now on ESPN 97.5. Adrian at the game and wants to talk about the Astros here on ESPN 97.5. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Been listening to a lot of great talk, so I'm going to mix some stuff in here first.
Mix it up.
I'm a Raiders fan, Astros fan.
So you love Stanford because he was a Raider.
Yeah, man. Hey, I want to thank the Texans for not taking Carr, okay? So I started it off that way because I want to give my take on the Texans first.
Yeah.
I hear everybody saying what they got to say about the quarterbacks. I hear everybody what they got to say about the defense. But I want to look at it just a little bit different. I want to look at who's in charge. Bill O'Brien is, like y'all said earlier, a glorified assistant coach, making the decisions, making wrong decisions, and we can see the decisions that he's making with quarterback. That just doesn't fly. Oh, yeah, and I'm a season ticket holder, too, with the I'm a homer. Mm-hmm. Second thing, Romeo. The bill of goods that we were sold was that his defense will make any player become great. This is year two. I'm not seeing it. I know that we've had injuries. I understand that. But we were told that he is a defensive masterpiece, and I am not seeing it.
Tell him, Stanford.
Well, Adrian, you know, nice to see you calling in, man. The Texans, let me see where I can start here.
The truth. And nothing but the truth.
Stanford, the one thing that I've loved about you this entire time is that you've spelt the truth.
You're not a Texans ambassador. No, Just do what you do, man.
I'm definitely give it to you. With Rack, I remember back in KC, that was one of the main reasons why I signed there. Because of that and because of the defensive prowess, 5 Super Bowls, all of that. And I remember me, among other players, some older guys, and even a few of the younger guys when I got there, that's one of the things that I realized is that he's good with the front seven. He really knows his craft with the front seven because he's a D-line coach by craft. But in the back end, I noticed that it wasn't as top-notch coaching and schematically as I thought it was.
It's not a high priority for him because he wants to pressure the quarterback.
And I remember plenty of times that he was asking me and other players to do things that I played for three Hall of Fame cornerback coaches in my years, and none of those Hall of Fame cornerback coaches agreed with what he was trying to teach us. None of them. Even one of the guys who was there, that's a Hall of Fame cornerback who's a DB coach there. And that's one thing that I definitely realized. And a few times I have noticed that, yeah, you know what? That right there, I think that was coaching on that play. Even going back all the way to the Dallas game last year,
right,
where Dez Bryant was making that great play in overtime, I believe it was, or late in the fourth quarter, whichever right. one, where it was on Jay Joe. I could tell by the way Jay Joe lined up at the line of scrimmage, that wasn't him. That looked like that was
scheme.
Coaching. That looked like that was somebody telling you, hey, do it this way. Don't do it the way it's comfortable. Do it this way. So, yeah, Adrian, you got you're on to something right there.
Certainly so. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Our last Astros call on the board right now is Adam Rapp, and Adam joins us now on ESPN 97.5. Hello, Adam.
Lesbian Craig, I know you're not picking the bumper music on this show.
That's Joan. That's Joan.
It's a little too soft.
That's Joan picking the bumper music, man. Well, I mean, I did request that Patsy Cline, so watch your mouth now.
No, Patsy Cline's good.
Oh, okay.
A little non-Lesbian Craig type of music in there. But, man, you know, it's funny. I was listening to that one caller, Craig, and you were talking about, you know, don't call in and say, hey, the Texans have no quarterbacks. It's not. I don't think that's the issue, and it goes back to what I wanted to talk about with the Astros today.
Go ahead.
I think it's a case of over tinkering. You know, today I know he had 102 pitches, and I know you know, at that point you had the error by Correa, and it just looked like, hey, maybe it was time to go to the bullpen. But I think, you know, similar to taking Pedro out back in the day when Grady Little did that, I think today is just about over tinkering, and I think Bill O'Brien might have a little case of that as well, just in, you know, almost overthinking the room, because instead of making Mallett, instead of leaving McCullough in today, it just seems like, you know, it sometimes you just got to go with your gut instead of going with, okay, this is what I should do as a coach or a manager or a head coach. And it just kind of seemed to be along the same lines of make the decision. You know, don't. It's like taking Kazmir out the other night. You know, Kazmir pleaded to stay in the game, and he wasn't. He wasn't giving up yaks. He wasn't really. You know, they weren't hitting the ball that hard. But sometimes you just got to go with your gut or go with your instinct, and stick to it instead of going back and forth.
Adam, I don't know if taking out McCullers. I mean, I think you're doing a little bit of revisionist history on this one, because he was at 102 pitches,
right.
and then. The when he got taken out, it was after the hit by pitch to Salvador Perez.
Yeah, because so, McCullers was
up. It was a one-run game at that point.
McCullers was up in his 40s in pitch count in the second inning today.
Yeah.
So I knew
he was lucky to get as far as he did. I mean, the fact that you got six and a third out of him.
But I think Adam's point overall does have some validity to it. You know, about when it comes to the Bill O'Brien more so than the baseball comment.
Yeah. Well, I like this Texan comment more than I like this Astro comment. I'll say that. I think that... Yeah, there is something to be said about over-tinkering. I don't think that's what happened with the Houston Astros today. But I think that is what's happening with the Houston Texans.
I think it's clearly some of what's going on with the Texans.
You can definitely outsmart yourself.
I think the Texans issue, though, is all the way at the top, though. I think it's the culture. You know what I mean? I think it starts with Bob McNair myself. Because, like, he's a good guy. And I've met Mr. McNair. He's very kind to you when you, you know, and very personable when you see him out and stuff like that. But I'm talking about in regard to how the football operations is run.
Mm-hmm.
The organization, that Texas organization is ran well. I mean, those people are pros.
But there's a lot of negativity around that room, though.
But the football part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the football operation. It's a different deal than what the whole overall organization is. And... Yeah, it just might be time to just really, really, really kind of just blow that thing up. You know what I mean? And just kind of start all over. You know, if you're gonna move Rick Smith into some other role or whatever it is, I think he probably does have a great value to the organization. But whatever is going on in the football operation side, it's not working. And that's not even arguable. It's not because Stanford says so, Will, Craig, or none of that. It's because of what we witnessed.
I say the results speak for themselves.
It speaks for themselves.
I got to go back to one move that was made way back in March, and I still question why do you get rid of Andre? Right. I still question it. I get it. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the league leaders right now. I think he's leading the league right now in receiving yards. So he's a young and upcoming talent. And then you got Nate Washington. You got Cecil Shorts. You got the young guy, Jalen Strong.
Yeah.
He's coming on. Had two tubs just the other day. But I'm sorry, like, you can't tell me that Andre is not a better complement to DeAndre than these other guys.
He certainly
are.
Had a spot
or
on this team.
Or vice versa. And just like that, you could tell that the Texans, they're just trying to go younger, plain and simple. And they want to go and talk to Andre, tell him that he may not be even guaranteed a starting spot this coming season. He's only going to get 50 balls, something like that. They put it on that man to where he asked for his release or to be traded. That way, they didn't have to be the bad guy. And when they did that, I knew then, I was like, you guys aren't really, really trying to y'all aren't trying to win.
That's Stanford Route, and I'm Will Pelagic along with Craig Shelton. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Let's go to Joey, who's been on hold for a while. Joey, you're on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
for the show all the time, and you guys are doing a great job. I just wanted to comment on the Texans' quarterback situation. Forget about what they've done or what they haven't done. What can they do moving forward? Look into the future.
Draft somebody.
Is there a trade to be had? Is there a pick that they can maneuver for? And what can they do moving forward?
If they finish bad enough, they can go draft one.
But even
that's not a guarantee. And here's the problem. And they haven't invested the type of money in the quarterback position that's required to win in this league. And that's whether or not you think you should have gotten somebody in the draft, whether you think you should have gotten somebody in free agency, whatever. They just haven't invested that. But that's not something that you can fix within the confines of the season. The season, right now where it is, you're not going to get a quarterback who's going to be able to lead this team for the future. You can't fix that until the offseason.
Yeah.
So basically you have to go with the best guy and the guy who has the most upside, and that's why you go with Ryan Mallett instead of Brian Hoyer, because I think Brian Hoyer, the diminishing level of margin of returns for him is done. You know what he is.
Yeah, I I'm not going to argue the Brian Hoyer point with you by any means. When the caller asks, what can you do?
Well, you can't do nothing now. You got to wait till the offseason.
But I think the caller's, I guess he means in general, though. You know, what needs to be the big plan going forward? What needs to be the focus? What needs to be the new vision?
First and foremost, you got to get you a quarterback.
You have to do whatever it takes to get on the right path with a quarterback.
Whether it's going to be Hoyer, whether it's going to be Mallett, whether the quarterback going forward isn't even on the roster right now. You got to pick one, and you got to stick with it, period. And then once you're ready to move on from him, that's fine. Then you move on from him. But you gotta put all your preparation, all your trust, all of the good vibes, the good nature, all into that guy. And then that's when you move on to maybe getting a true number two compliment as a receiver. Not to say these guys right here aren't doing good, but you need another big stud who's going to take the heat off of DeAndre, because the good teams, they're just going to grow the coverage to DeAndre and then man up everybody else. That's all they're going to do.
Absolutely.
Just like in my years in Oakland, whenever we played the Texans, all we did, we put Nnamdi over there on Andre. Nnamdi would go ahead, take him out the game, and then we just manned up everybody else, and that was it. That was the blueprint, and I think that's what teams are going to try to do with the Texans going forward until they get a tight end and another receiver that are really going to strike fear into other guys.
Quarter hour left to play here on the Blitz.
Nnamdi just turned in his status with the Texans. He's no longer a part of the Texans organization over there.
Will, just Craig, and Stanford in. Joining you here on the Blitz on 97.5.
Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back at it. A little bit early there, but we're back at it, man. You're listening to The Blitz. Craig Shelton, we filling in. It's Craig, it's Will, it's Stanford Rout hanging out in the studio with us, man. We're glad to be here today. Filling in for the Falcon, Fred Fowler, and for A.J. Hoffman, Mr. MMA boss And 713-780-3776, that'll get you in on the show.
You can play in the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game, win $100 absolutely free to play, having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington from 5 until 7 Thursday. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter to get to the link at Buffalo Wild Wings from Jason Braddock and ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5. as well as Bud Light. Now, we see what we just saw here in this Cub game where Chris Bryant hits a two-run homer off of Michael Wacha, and they go ahead and pull him. I mean, I don't know if we want A.J. Hinch to have that kind of leash on his relievers, but, you know, there's something to be said, and it's something that we talked about earlier, Craig, about managing with a leash or managing with a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if A.J. Hinch will change the way he manages Game 5 as a result of what happened in Game 4.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
You think he sticks with him?
Got to.
The only thing that I'm questioning is it's Game 5, you have all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you don't see Mike Fiers in this entire series, I wonder why he's on the postseason roster.
But if he does play Mike Fiers, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's managing differently.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, managing differently to me means you change your philosophy and how you go about doing business. You can't do that. You know, you do what you do. You are who you are.
I think you adapt to the time frame and you adapt what's happening.
I agree with that. You can do that, but that doesn't necessarily
mean... Maybe I said it incorrectly. He's adapting more to where the environment is. This is a winner-take-all game. You need this game to advance on to the next round.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I don't think A.J. Hinch is going to go out and change his profile or who he is as a manager and therefore affect the team. Listen, managers don't win a whole lot of baseball games. So you got to go out there and pitch, hit, and catch. You know, let's just be frank about it. You know what I mean? So
the Cardinals aren't pitching right now because they just got taken deep on again. Back-to-back homers, Anthony Rizzo just went deep. It's 5-2 Chicago.
That was a shot right
and
there.
that almost went down onto Sheffield Avenue over there at Wrigley Field. So it's a 5-2 game in favor of the Cubs, who basically look like they feel like they won the World Series if they beat the Cardinals.
Let me ask you a Cubs-Astros what-if question.
Oh, you want to know who will have the sentimental pick nationally?
I think I know the answer.
The answer would be the Cubs.
But is there any chance the Astros could be a sentimental favorite versus the Cubs?
There's no chance.
No.
I don't think so.
You have to realize how long it's been since the Cubs have even been in the World Series. The last World Series they were in was not even on television.
Yeah, it's just be too easy. See, and they got the president on their side.
It's the first.
And it's done deal. Barack will get involved. The next thing you know, it's a big deal.
Although I think he's a White Sox fan, though.
He's a White Sox fan. He's a politician.
Mm-hmm. He's a White Sox fan, though.
Chicago.
No, but he's still going to ride with the Cubs if they're in there.
You think he'll ride with the Cubs? Oh, come on. You know he will. He's a Chicago.
He's going to ride with the Windy City.
He showed up to Wrigley, I believe, in a White Sox jacket, though.
I remember that.
But if the Cubs make it to the World Series,
I'll tell you this, you know
what's going to happen.
He's in his second term. If he was not in his second term, I think he would have rolled in there with a Cubs shirt, though. That's the thing. He's got nothing to play for right now.
Yeah, he's just riding it out.
He got that term limitation swag.
Oh, yeah.
That term limitation swag is something else, isn't it, Mayor Parker?
I ain't touching that one. I ain't touching that one.
I got my church lady face on for you, Mayor Parker.
your gut feeling. Game 5 Wednesday. McHugh, Cueto. What is the most likely scenario? Is it a close Kansas City win, close Houston win, blowout either way?
No, I think it's a close Astros win, but I think it's going to be a good old-fashioned, ugly baseball game.
See, I think
it's going to be a good old-fashioned, ugly baseball game, but I think the Astros are going to squeak it out. I really believe that.
I think this game will take on kind of the personification of the wild card game last year between the Astros and Athletics, where I think you'll see the starters out of there very quickly. I think it'll honestly be a situation where you basically got to take your plan and throw it away.
A good old ugly, which kind of lays it out for Mike Fiers to get that long reliever.
I think you need to be in a situation where you have to think that they're all hands on deck. You might have to go to Keuchel on 2 days rest.
Over
at this point, you don't care. You
over,
just got to get there.
Over and under, Mike Fiers.
You got to push through.
This is the Blitz. Playoffs. We have to do at least one over and under. It wouldn't be the Blitz. Over and under on Mike Fiers 3 innings.
Under. I think you see him in there for at least two innings, because I think at this point, again, it's not about necessarily having a long or short lease on anybody, but everybody out there is available. You have a day of rest, you have a day of travel. Everybody's available. I don't care who it is, with the exception of maybe McCullers, who is only going to have one day of rest. McCullers is the only guy who's untouchable. Everybody else better be coming to the ballpark ready to play on Wednesday. Regardless, you have 24 guys, you got to do it with all 24.
But I'm with you, though. Fires is my main guy. If I have to go early to the bullpen, that's the guy that I'm going to, that I know can give me,
me too,
sustained innings.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's the guy.
And I'm wondering, too, you know, since it is McHugh going, I mean, do you go to Kazmir, too? Because Kazmir will be on – it will be short rest for Kazmir, because that's what Cueto's going to be on, because Cueto pitched in game two. Whether or not you
– it would be very interesting to see if A.J. Hinch would go to Scott Kazmir in that situation.
It's odd. It's
very – I'd be very surprised.
I'd be surprised, especially –
I don't think he has that confidence in him.
I don't know if he does or not either, but the one thing that I do know is that, you know – The fans' opinion will turn on what this game is on Wednesday. I mean, you're thinking about yourself a lot differently if you end up in the ALCS versus
It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Lincoln Park is playing. Whenever Lincoln Park plays, we have to pray.
Hey, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure today with you guys. Stanford Round, thanks so much for coming in. Craig, this is great for us. We never met, never done anything each other.
Fun,
this was
fun. Definitely.
Appreciate John Lee for producing as well, and appreciate everybody else listening in. Hope you enjoyed yourself today on ESPN 97.5. Fred and AJ are back tomorrow. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Yeah.